This is Love Your Work. On this show, we help you make it as a creative entrepreneur. I'm David Cadavy from Love Your Work headquarters in Colombia. Yes, the country. I've interviewed titans of industry like Steve Case. I've interviewed best-selling authors like Seth Godin and James Altucher. I've interviewed experts on behavioral science, creators from dancers to a chef to a Hollywood set designer, and visionaries on the cutting edge of creative monetization, whether that's self-publishing or blockchain technology. From these conversations, I pull out lessons to share with you on how you can find your unique voice as a creative entrepreneur, how you can nail the right mindset to succeed, and how you can be the first to capitalize on new opportunities to make a living making your art. If you are new here, welcome. Again, I'm David Cadavy. If you want to join us here on Love Your Work every Thursday, please hit subscribe on your podcast app and get my free creative productivity toolkit. Sign up at cadavy.net/tools. When you're marketing your business, it's easy to gravitate toward the sure bets, things you can do and be assured of a positive outcome. But these sure bets can cause you to miss out on asymmetric opportunities, the things that take a small amount of investment with a small chance of a very big upside. We talked about asymmetric opportunities in last week's conversation with Tynan. This week, I'll tell you how to find asymmetric opportunities for growing your business. These are also known as black swans, and you're going to find out why. Now, I've been back in Colombia after my temporary exile for several weeks now. I also bought a couple of extra days on my tourist stamp. I went to a dance conference in Tampa, Bachata Conference, but I came back to an unpleasant surprise. I have 18 fewer days to remain in Colombia legally on my tourist stamp than I originally had thought. There were some details in immigration law that I missed when I first made my plan. So I'll be cutting it very, very close when I reapply for my visa on November 9th. That is both the first day that I'm eligible to apply and the last day that the immigration office will be open while I'm legally in Colombia. If I get a no, I have to leave 3 days later, 72 hours later, on November 12th, and I can't return until the first day of 2019. So if I get a yes, everything is good and I can stay. If I get a no, I have to very rapidly leave. So as you can imagine, that's a very nerve-wracking position to be in, but this is the expat life. When you run the numbers, if you're thinking about the expat life, living in another country, when you run those numbers on how much you'll save living in that other country, be sure to account for the fact that you might have surprises like this one that I'm going through. So far, this visa snafu has led to 3 unplanned trips. I'll also be paying for a lawyer again, a more expensive one this time. I have to travel to Bogota to apply in person, so that's a 4th unplanned trip. And if my application is rejected again, that will be at least 1 more unplanned trip, and I'll have to figure out where to stay for 2 months while I wait to re-enter the country again. So thank you to everybody who keeps asking about the status of that. There is your status update for now. And thank you also to our newest Patreon supporter, Fernando Mejia. Why does Fernando pay for Love Your Work when he could just listen for free? He says, I've decided to support your work because you're setting an example of persistence and focused work. I'm originally from Colombia, although I've been living in Canada for the last 14 years. You've inspired me to explore new project ideas to becoming a successful creator in the new economy. Thank you very much for doing such great work. And thank you so much, Fernando. Do you, listener, get inspiration from Love Your Work? Does it inspire you to explore new project ideas? Does it give you a clear view of the new economy and how to succeed in it as a creator? If so, please say thank you by supporting the show on Patreon. Just $5 a month, just a coffee a month, can go a really long way in helping. Visit patreon.com/cadavy. That's patreon.com/cadavy. And also thank you to our sponsor, Gusto. I'm really glad to have them sponsoring the show. If you have to worry about payroll and benefits for your employees, you know that you can't focus on the important things like actually running that business so you can pay those employees. Gusto makes payroll and benefits a breeze. 9 out of 10 users, in fact, say that Gusto is easier to use than other payroll services. You don't have to be a big company anymore to get great technology, great benefits, great service for your team. Gusto just does all that for you. So to help support the show, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive, limited-time deal. Sign up today. You'll get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. To do that, just go to gusto.com/loveyourwork. That's gusto.com/loveyourwork. We also have a sponsor today, Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in the world. I can tell you that learning a new language is one of the greatest things that you can do in life. I know that living in Colombia would be a huge struggle if I had not learned Spanish. To me, it's like discovering a secret world on a video game. With Babbel, you can learn not only Spanish, but you can also learn French, Italian, German, Russian, Swedish, and more. You can try Babbel for free. Go to babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com, or download the app to try for free. Babbel.com. Here's the article. Want breakthrough success for your business? Seven keys to making black swans happen. Not too long ago, Seth Godin blogged about my book. As you can imagine, this had a positive effect on sales. This was what I call a black swan marketing event. It reminds me of the time my email list grew from 5,000 subscribers to 30,000 subscribers within 2 weeks, or the time my book debuted in the top 20 on all of Amazon. It also reminded me of the time I got my book deal in the first place, the time I collaborated with behavioral scientist Dan Ariely on an app that Google bought, or the time a Silicon Valley startup discovered me in a cubicle in Nebraska. These black swan marketing events have three characteristics. They're unpredictable, they're high impact, they're hard to replicate. First, unpredictable. I didn't know any of these events were going to happen. They just did. Second, high impact. Each of these events completely changed my business. Once a black swan event happens, it becomes a milestone. I then refer to everything as pre-X and post-X. Now, it still remains to be seen whether the Seth Godin endorsement will have this effect. Some events that seem to be black swans, such as having my podcast featured on the Apple Podcasts homepage, turn out to not be high impact in the long term. Third, they're hard to replicate. You can't know exactly how these events happen. You can rationalize after the fact, but you can't simply follow the same steps and get the same result. You can merely create the conditions, which I'll get to. The term black swan, by the way, comes from Nassim Nicholas Taleb's book called The Black Swan. The best way to illustrate what a black swan is like, ironically, is to think about a turkey. The turkey gets fed every day. Each day the turkey gets fed, it confirms the turkey's belief that humans are nice and that humans are looking out for its best interests. Then, Thanksgiving happens. The turkey made the mistake of forming beliefs about tomorrow based upon data from yesterday. The turkey's beliefs were increasingly wrong because the turkey misinterpreted that data. The turkey thought being fed was a good sign when in fact it was a bad sign. Taleb often talks about black swans in terms of bad events. For example, the financial crisis of 2008 was a black swan, 9/11 was a black swan. Both were hard to precisely predict, and we refer to both of these events as pre-X or pre-9/11 and post-X or post-9/11. But black swan events can also be good events, as is the case with many of the black swan marketing events I've experienced in more than 10 years in business. One of Taleb's defining factors of a black swan event is that it's rationalized after the fact. We employ our biases trying to explain how the event happened, or we find data that matches up with our theory of how it happened. This is where popular marketing methodologies such as A/B testing can become dangerous. If we aren't careful to use solid methodologies, we can be led astray. I illustrated this by showing up to a 300% increase in conversions in AA tests, meaning the increase I saw was merely statistical variation. As one of Taleb's other books would explain, I was fooled by randomness. You could use poor data methodologies to come up with false reasons. You could even use good data methodologies to also come up with false reasons. I tend to call this data blindness, or being irrationally rational. The focus on what can be measured can actually make you blind to the often unknowable truth. In Anti-Fragile, Taleb calls this post hoc rationalization, lecturing birds how to fly. Imagine a physics professor showing a bird a bunch of equations to explain to that bird how it should fly. Quoting Taleb, "We have the illusion that the world functions thanks to program design, university research, and bureaucratic funding, but there is compelling, very compelling evidence to show that this is an illusion, the illusion I call lecturing birds how to fly. Technology is the result of anti-fragility, exploited by risk takers in the form of tinkering and trial and error." Unquote. Randomness And tinkering and trial and error play a big part in making Black Swan marketing events happen. You can't know exactly how they happen, but you can create the conditions for these events. So how do you create the conditions for Black Swan marketing events? Here's what has helped me, and there are seven of them. 1. Believe in Black Swans. 2. Avoid doing things that won't lead to Black Swans. 3. Think in the long term. 4. Avoid big projects full of unknowns. 5. Make small bets with big potential upsides. 6. Make the unreal real. 7. Do the crazy idea. 1. Believe in Black Swans. The concept of the Black Swan comes from living in a world full of white swans. If you have never seen a Black Swan, you might decide they don't exist. You'd be using absence of evidence as evidence of absence. Simply knowing that these Black Swan events exist will open you up to making these events happen. 2. Avoid doing things that won't lead to Black Swans. If we don't keep in our minds that Black Swan events exist, we get drawn into activities that have little chance of leading to Black Swans. For example, you're unlikely to make a Black Swan event happen by A/B testing the button color on your landing page. In 0 to 1, Peter Thiel calls this kind of thinking incrementalism. Taleb calls it living in mediocristan, in contrast to the world of extremistan, where Black Swans exist. So use your knowledge that Black Swans exist to divert your attention away from activities that won't lead to Black Swans. 3. Think in the long term. Everyone wants overnight results. This makes us even more biased toward mediocristan activities like tweaking an ad campaign. When I look at my own Black Swan events, they all involve assets that I had previously built up over the course of years. Before sending my book to Seth Godin, I had built up over 100 Amazon reviews over the course of 6 months. I also had Seth on my podcast more than a year earlier, after spending a patient 2.5 years trying to get him on the show, and after being a fan for nearly 15 years. I doubt he would have endorsed my book if I had merely demanded it of him in a cold email. 4. Avoid big projects full of unknowns. It's impossible to win the lottery without buying one ticket, but your chances of winning don't improve much by buying more tickets. Even though you should think in the long term, don't invest months and years in a huge project with no clear signs that it will pay off. 5. Make small bets with big potential upsides. Instead of investing months or years in a huge project, instead spend weeks or days or even minutes on small projects. Small things can lead to huge things, and they can also give you signals that make it worth investing more. Yes, the old lean startup approach. I got my first book deal because I wrote a blog post. I teamed up with Dan Ariely because I wrote a blog post. My endorsement from Seth Godin came from a series of emails. 6. Make the unreal real. To make Black Swans happen, you have to avoid tweaking what sits in front of you. Instead, you have to make exist something that doesn't yet exist. This includes mere changes in definitions of things that already do exist. I existed, yet I wasn't a best-selling author. In fact, I was a 25-year-old in a gray cubicle in Nebraska with no connections. After making the unreal real several times, I eventually became a best-selling author. This seems obvious, but it makes a world of difference in your confidence. After you make the unreal real enough times, it starts to get easier. 7th and final, do the crazy idea. We spend too much time in mediocristan because we're scared. Meanwhile, we have plenty of crazy ideas that we dismiss without even thinking about it. In The Heart to Start, I call this the voice. Crazy ideas, by definition, don't have past data to back them up, so it takes courage to pursue them. But crazy ideas have a higher chance of leading to Black Swan events than do, quote-unquote, normal ideas. As you get more successful, pursuing Black Swan events gets harder. If you're successful, you have lots of opportunities. You commonly hear advice about the importance of saying no to opportunities that aren't going to pay off. But if you say no to every opportunity that doesn't have a clear payoff, you'll get stuck in mediocristan. Yes, your business will grow incrementally, but you have little chance of stratospheric success. Dan Ariely mentioned in a recent podcast conversation with Shane Parrish his strategy to counter the pressure to say no to nearly everything. He's sure to practice saying no, but he also says yes to some small percentage of opportunities that don't make sense for him to pursue. He's opening himself up to more Black Swan events. We're naturally attracted to the sure bet, We can measure our efforts and results and assure ourselves that we did the right thing. But to truly have breakthrough success, we need to ignore sure bets so we can invest in the crazy idea. It will lead us through uncertainty, but it eventually pays off. You just don't know how or when. Is Love Your Work helping you find the intersection on your love and money Venn diagram? Does it bring you the inspiration and motivation to make you into the person that you want to be? If so, we, together, you and I, can make this the show that we want it to be. I'm trying to make a nourishing and thoughtful show, and I could use your help with that. Please donate to the show. Just a coffee a month will help support the hosting and production of this show. Just a coffee a month will help spread Love Your Work's message, helping more people live a balanced life with a healthy definition of success. To donate, visit our Patreon page at katavi.net/donate. Patreon is a platform that lets you support creators like me, vote with your dollars, and keep Love Your Work going at katavi.net/donate. As a thank you, you'll get early access, bonus content, and a discount on Love Your Work merchandise. Learn more at katavi.net/donate. That's katavi.net/donate. Love Your Work is brought to you in part by our Patreon supporters, such as mini sponsor Roxana Maynard of Agility Alchemist at agilityalchemist.com, and top supporters such as Jeffrey Mason and Vitas Pankovicius. This has been Love Your Work, and I'm David Katavi. The theme music for this show is At Sea by Durena from the album About Everything and More, by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Katavi, Inc.